Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gavitt and Brian Chapman.
Today is December 3rd, 2009, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 159, podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gavitt, managing editor for TMO.
And that was the cool, crazy, delicious sounds of the atomic love bombs bringing us in. And I'm Brian Chapman, ghostwriter. Get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AMC or ACM even at macobserver.com. Where did that come from?
I think you're just having issues with spelling. And I think we need to get a spell check for the podcast.
That would be a killer feature. Something we need for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it's not a big deal to find some plug-in module and just to add it to the show. And it'll auto-fix spelling for us as we talk.
Yeah, you know, and everyone who was Johnny on the spot with the quick downloads probably heard our awful gaffe in the last podcast.
You know, I prefer to think of that as our limited edition special behind the scenes episode.
I forgot to cut something out in editing, and the podcast went out with that needed to be deleted scene, including a couple of F-bombs, I believe. And, you know, we
can't believe that would come out of our mouths.
I know. But we did edit it and got it back up, and I appreciate everyone that let us know.
Yeah, and you know, that was great because, well, first, that tells me that we have listeners that are watching our backs for us.
Right.
Which is great. And second, it means we know that there's actually at least a handful of people that listen to the show.
we know that bizarrely there are lots of people that listen to the show.
Yeah, that's true. We do, but you know, now we actually have proof that it's more than just automated bots downloading the show.
That's true. It could actually be that we have thousands of automated bots
and like five people.
Five real people and thousands of automated bots. Well, you know, in bot speak, nano, nano. 1001100.
And, you know, the great thing is there's only 10 types of people that can get that joke.
What, 10 types of people?
Yeah. Wow, I just totally screwed up my binary joke.
Now, that'll work, though, actually.
Okay.
That's four kinds of people, right?
No, that would actually...
Two.
It would be two people because...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Two people, 10 kinds of people, right.
Yeah.
God, that's such a nerdy joke, and then we just so totally destroyed our geek credentials by flouting it up.
You know, I think we still get at least one or two cred points for being able to set up a binary joke. Because there's a lot of people that couldn't even get that far.
I suppose. But the ones that can right now are going, these guys are total amateurs.
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh, God. All right. Before I get us in any more trouble, why don't we mention that you can follow us on Twitter. I happen to be at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y.
It is with a Y. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm at twitter.com/jgamut. And believe it or not, we both actually talk on Twitter.
Well, you do.
Okay. When you talk, it's always a special occasion, which makes your tweets very, very special to be cherished.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I definitely go for the fewer is better theory there. But now we also have the Mac Observer on Twitter.
We do. And that's twitter.com/MacObserver.
So it is. So it is. All right. Now, with that out of the way, and I am gesturing with my hands dramatically, let's have Ricky take us into the next segment of the show.
Cool. Apple's Lawsuit Express made a stop at the SciStar SmackDown Depot. The tablet Mac name moved from Axiotron to Apple. Test models for the next generation iPhone may be in the wild. And IDC has some predictions for the App Store in 2010.
SciStar is guns a-blazing.
Pew, 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 pew.
League of I have to do that again because it's so much fun. SciStar is guns a-blazing.
Pew, 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 pew.
Okay, just so you know, when you do guns a-blazing, I picture you leaning way back in your chair with both of your hands like guns, like little kids do, and you're just kind of waving them like you're firing willy-nilly.
Oh, completely. And who's your friend that did the sound effect for us?
Melissa. And she is such a trooper for giving us that awesome, awesome sound effect.
Yeah, so let's try it one more time. SciStar's guns a-blazing.
Pew, 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 pew.
Legal pet.
It just gets better every time you do it.
Her voice is just so fantastic. Oh my goodness. Alrighty. SciStar's guns a-blazing. Legal action. Legal battle even with Apple over whether or not it can make Mac clones isn't going exactly the way the company had planned, hoped, and plotted. The two reached a partial settlement at the end of November after the judge overseeing the case in Northern California ruled in Apple's favor, even as in a summary judgment. I'm just all discombobulated now. As part of the settlement, SciStar agreed to pay Apple over $2.67 million U.S. in damages and legal fees and pretty much fessed up to everything Apple accused the company of doing. SciStar isn't, however, done beating its head against the wall, so it's still fighting to keep Rebel EFI alive. Rebel EFI is the company's software that lets users install macOS 10 on PCs instead of Apple hardware. SciStar's crack legal team is hoping to take that fight to a parallel case it launched against Apple in a U.S. district court in Florida. Despite having settled with Apple, once the case in California has officially wrapped up, SciStar does plan to file an appeal, so that means we should have at least a few more months of jokes at SciStar's... there's a unfortunate typo there in our script. At SciStar's expense to look forward to.
Yeah. I cannot imagine the rest of this podcast is going to go well. We couldn't even get through the first story.
No, and you know, folks, just to give you another little peek here behind the scenes, Skype was giving us fits, iChat was giving us fits, and so we both have our iPhone earplugs plugged into our ear and our headphones from our computer going over that so that we can do this recording. So everything is just weird for us.
But we are so wired right now. But it also means that if there's a lightning strike anywhere near the TMO Central Towers, everything that I own will explode now. All right. I guess I should at least make the feeble attempt to try and get through the next story.
Yes.
All right. Ownership of a U.S. trademark for the term tablet Mac has transferred from Axiotron to Apple. Axiotron had originally registered the trademark in 2007 after releasing its MacBook-based ModBook tablet. But ownership of the trademark transferred to Apple during the last year. The ModBook is a conversion product which is made from a MacBook or a MacBook Pro, and in that case it's called the ModBook Pro. And it also includes a Wacom touchscreen tablet. Axiotron partnered with our great TMO sponsor, Otherworld Computing, or OWC, to market and sell the devices. Tablet Mac, however, uses an Apple trademarked name, and that's Mac in its own name, and that's something that's often used to contest trademarks in the United States. And in this case, Apple would likely have been able to make an argument that Axiatron's trademark could lead to confusion in the marketplace.
Apple is on the hunt for a new software engineer that can help take the iPhone and iPod Touch's map features, quote, to the next level and beyond, and to rethink. It doesn't actually say the and beyond. So it's, quote, to the next level and to rethink how users use maps and change the way people find things. We want to do this in a seamless, highly interactive, and enjoyable way. We've only just begun, unquote. The job announcement has rumor mongers all over the internet speculating that the listing could be related to Apple's purchase of the online mapping and tagging service PlaceBase, and they're speculating that Apple is planning on moving away from Google's Google Maps services.
And an iPhone model that doesn't officially exist began appearing recently in one developer's application analytics, possibly indicating that Apple is field testing the next version of the iPhone. Apparently, Pandav's iBart application has been showing usage from an iPhone model identifying itself as iPhone 3,1, which is a higher number than any of the current shipping models. Now, in other news, a man may be milking a cow, and a dozen utes were seen exiting a brightly colored form of conveyance and entering a large, bland building.
Now, that sounds suspiciously like a school.
How bland.
And a school bus.
Still bland.
Now, in case you didn't notice, it's December. And what does that mean? If you guessed Jeff prancing about in a red suit wearing a cheap, fluffy, white, fake beard, you'd be wrong. No! December means it's time for predictions for the next year. In this case, 2010. Now, the first predictions outside of our own that we have even the vaguest interest in comes from research firm IDC. Those learned folks think that the IT industry is going to see growth for the first time since the financial meltdown rocked the economy in 2008, and that green initiatives stemming from Copenhagen will present new opportunities to IT companies. Yeah, yeah, Brian, I hear you say. But what about Apple? Yeah, yeah, Brian. But what about Apple? That's what I hear in my head. Well, a line item in their special list was about the smartphone industry becoming more important to enterprise IT and enterprise and IT. And IDC thinks that Apple's App Store is going to see a trebling of the number of apps it hosts in 2010. For those working out the math at home, that would mean that the App Store would grow to some 300,000 apps or more during the year, growth of more than 200,000 apps. Okay, I can see you reaching for the pencil again, but I've already done the calculations for you, and that would mean that developers would have to complete, and Apple would have to approve, more than 547 apps per day, every day. Yeah, I know. The IDC also thinks that the Android marketplace will quintuple, which I think would bring the number of apps for that platform to a baker's dozen. Lastly, IDC expects Apple's tablet, they call it the iPad, to be released in 2010. And it's time for the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news within the news and the Context Machine within the Context Machine to provide context for what's going on.
My head now hurts. and
but why
I have
don't we
to
start
ask,
where we ended?
Oh, that sounds great. And I'm glad you said that, because it just occurred to me that I never actually wrote down my short little list of what we were planning on discussing in the Context Machine. So I'm going to be just as excited to find out each topic as our listeners are.
Well, you know what's really exciting about that is I don't think we really decided, so we're going to be winging it.
But, oh,
you know,
sweet.
We wing it well, so rock on for us.
Yeah, go Team ACM.
Right, Team ACM, 100,000, 300,000 apps, triple the number of apps in 2010. And you know, of course, Apple has been, I think, more than tripling per year. I mean, the rate of growth of the App Store has got to slow down, just, you know.
Well,
because it's gotta.
It has to slow down. Either we're going to see developers not cranking out applications as quickly as they are, or we're just going to see the problem where there are so many apps that Apple's staff can't get through them any faster.
Well, you know, that's actually, I think, one of the prime things that I kind of wonder about. I mean, I can certainly see the App Store tripling. I mean, because it, I guess, it, what has it been doing? Like, you know, octupling or more for the last year and a half?
It has increased at an insanely crazy speed.
Exactly. It seems to have doubled every few weeks. And I mean, clearly that's not going to happen. But the big thing is, you know, I mean, 547 apps a day, that counts weekends. And I mean, you know, Apple could certainly hire approval. It's a lot of apps to be going through every day. And that's a big staff. You know, I mean, they can support that staff if the numbers are there, if the downloads are there, and the money is there. They can certainly support that kind of staff, but that just seems like a lot of apps to me.
I'm having a hard time accepting 300,000 by the end of 2010. It's my Jedi instincts are telling me that Apple doesn't have the infrastructure to be able to get that many apps out and on the store in that amount of time. And
I'm inclined to agree with that. And you know, I kind of wonder what kind of a mess. There's a little bit of there's a piece of news that this would be an opportune time to discuss, but I think I'm under NDA and I can't. But Jeff knows, and him being covered by the NDA, and he can probably agree with me that it would be an ideal time to talk about that.
Yeah, and but you know, we probably could talk about it because our 100,000 robots that are downloading the podcast every week will be sure to honor the NDA.
Beady, beady. That's what I should have said instead of non-air. That's what I was thinking in my head, actually, was beady, beady.
But, you know, that's okay because they're both from the same era, and it totally works.
Fair enough. So, the app, I mean, 300,000 apps and is just so many apps to go through. I mean, I think that Apple's going to have to keep, I think that the App Store already needs some new tools for being able to find apps. You know, one of the things I'd like to see, Jeff, I don't think we ever talked about this. I'd like to see users who downloaded this app or users who like this app also like this app in this category.
Okay, that would be handy. And
it would be handy, especially with the large enough numbers. I mean, and I can't imagine the developers would like this, but I think even a sort of, you know, what Amazon does, which is customers who looked at this product ultimately bought this product.
Yeah, I think it would be a great idea. And I'm sure that there's some developers that wouldn't like the idea, but I have a feeling that there'd be enough cross-pollination that in the end, it would be a win for pretty much any developer that's making a quality product.
Well, yes and no, because it actually does beg the question that the strong would continue to get stronger while the weak stayed weak. It would make getting any kind of attention, you know, that barrier to entry to getting the any level of attention would be even higher. I don't know, and maybe that's not the specific tool, but we're going to need more tools for being able to comb through all these apps because, I mean, already, I mean, who could possibly hope to, you know, to even glance at a small tiny fraction of the apps that are out there?
It's crazy. I mean, we both follow this stuff every day, and nearly every day someone points out an application to me that I didn't know about.
Right, sure.
And if people like
a good app that you didn't know about.
Yes. And matter of fact, you did it this evening.
I did. We were looking at Travel Assistant Pro from Nod Concept.
Yeah, and I mean, there you go. It's so if people like us that are in the middle of this every day, and we're watching what's going on with the App Store every day, we're being introduced to new to us applications that are good practically on a daily basis. Okay, there's mm-hmm. a problem with the way the system is set up for finding things, because the average user probably is coming across even fewer of these good applications than we are.
Right. It's true. And, you know, going through the reviews on iTunes are all but worthless. You know, too many chuckleheads. And I, you know, if you're one of these chuckleheads that does this sort of thing, I'm talking to you. You're a chucklehead. Anyway, chuckleheads that put a low star review because they think that a product should be free, or because a particular feature didn't work, and they're like, you know, I just have read through so many reviews where people think that they can hold developers hostage by giving them a low star review. It's ridiculous.
You know, yeah, and the whole thing with being pissed off about an application price on the iPhone because it's not 99 cents.
Or it's not free.
Okay, that is something that I think is so wrong.
It's just, you know, it's people wanting something for nothing. It's people who have no respect for what anyone else can do. A lot of times because they can't do anything themselves. They don't have any skills that other people are worth or the value enough to pay for.
Yeah, and
I'm on my soapbox a little bit there, but you know, it's the same thing with people who think that music should be free, or people that think that movies and TV should be completely free, and, you know, just have no grasp whatsoever of what it takes to actually make some of this stuff, you know. And even some of these cheesy apps that you know, that cost 99 cents, a lot of work went into it, a lot of work that most of us can't do.
Oh yeah, that's true. Now I think another problem is that people equate the size of the iPhone, you know, so it's a pocket phone-sized device with the value of the software that runs on it. And to me, that logic is horribly flawed. It would be like saying, all right, well, I have a Mac Pro, so when I run Photoshop on that, Photoshop should cost this much. But when I'm running it on my MacBook, which is a lot smaller, it should cost less.
Sure.
And on the iPhone...
iPhone apps are often, if not, you know, the vast majority of the time, they are less complex and detailed than most. Actually, we'll look at a game for instance, Civilization Revolution is out on the iPhone, and I can't believe how incredibly playable that game is on an iPhone. I never would have dreamed they could have made that game playable on an iPhone, and they did. Super fun. Although that said, it actually kind of reminds me a lot of the first Civilization, the one that came out in the 90s, in its greatly reduced levels of complexity because it's an iPhone. And Civilization 4, which is the current version that's out for the Mac, is of course substantially more involved and you know, probably, you know, thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands of additional hours went into making it than it took to put the iPhone version together.
Sure.
So, I mean, there is a certain argument to be made about the fact that these apps are less complex.
Sure. You're right. A lot of these applications are going to be far less complex than their desktop counterparts. But that said, I still see a pattern with a lot of people where they're thinking simply because that it's an iPhone, meaning a phone-sized device, that applications should cost less.
Right.
And I think a lot of these people are equating the applications that they're buying for the iPhone with the type of applications that you can buy, say, for a little flip phone.
Sure.
And this is not the same case. Yes, both are computing devices, but the iPhone is more of a computer that fits in your pocket as opposed to a cell phone that you can also run some basic apps on.
Well, I think that at the very beginning there were a lot of developers who actually, you know, cut off their noses to spite their face by doing their own in-run to the bottom.
Yeah.
That, you know, just from the get-go, they wanted to be dirt cheap because they felt like that was the way to get attention. And, you know, it was an almost instantaneous effect where, you know, a developer's got to be pretty darn proud of their app to charge more than, say, $2.99.
And, yeah, and that's unfortunate because there's a lot of applications out there that are worth far, far more than that.
Yep, it's true. I've seen a couple of free apps that... that, you know, I can't believe that that they don't charge for them.
Yeah, and they're okay. So I use OmniFocus on my iPhone all the time to keep track of my tasks. That's like a $20 application. And when I tell people what I paid for it, they freak out because they cannot believe that someone would consider paying $20 for an application that runs just on their iPhone.
Well, you know what's going to happen when the tablet comes and people. By the way, did you read today the editorial that Eric Schmidt wrote for the Wall Street Journal?
No, I haven't read that yet.
All right, well, we're going to go off on a little bit of a sort of vaguely related tangent here.
You know, and the great thing is when we're done with this tangent, you will have told me enough I don't need to go read it.
Yes, that's true. Well, I only skimmed it, to be honest. So the part that we're going to talk about is the part that I did skim, which was he's describing a device where you're sitting there and you're like, you know, you're tapping things for you have a device in your hands and you're reading articles and the computing device that you're holding knows what you've read in the past and is making recommendations, and you get to, you know, like click and say, yes, this is a good choice that you made for me, thank you very much. And, you know, and he's describing all these things that he says that we'll be doing in 2015, and I have to be honest that it kind of really kind of sounded like some of the things I expect to be able to do with the Apple's tablet when it comes out.
Yeah, so maybe in his world, it's 2015. But in Steve Jobs' world, it's 2010.
Well, I mean, there are some things. Like, you know, I've always wondered why we don't have agents, software agents. Software agents that will go out and find all the news articles that I want to read, for instance. That sort of thing. Why I'm surprised that the marketplace hasn't provided that sort of service yet. And, you know, Eric Schmidt is a smart man. Eric Schmidt, by the way, is, of course, the CEO of Google. He is a smart, smart man. He was until recently on Apple's board. If he thinks it's going to be 2015, well, it's probably a good chance that it's actually going to be 2015, unless, of course, he's obfuscating to keep the market from understanding just how far his own company is with their product concepts.
And that is a possibility as well.
It certainly is a possibility. I don't know. There's a lot. We'll go ahead and include a link to it. It's not something we covered at TMO, but we'll go ahead and include a link to it at the show notes because it does make for an interesting read. And to finish that digression, he is writing because there's that story about Microsoft. I think we talked about it in the last podcast where Microsoft is looking at paying companies like News Corp to de-Google their online content for being the, you know, exclusive search engine that can access that that content, and so Eric Schmidt is writing for the Wall Street Journal, which is owned by News Corp, and the point of his article is what exactly search engines can do for content providers. So we'll provide a link to that in the show notes.
Cool.
You know what else will be in the show notes?
Probably info about who our sponsor is.
Yes! Ding, 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 yay!
I love it when I get the answer right.
Yay. Studio audience loves you.
Yeah.
Smile on My Mac is sponsoring us this week.
And I believe the product that we're all hot and bothered over is Disk Label.
It is Disk Label, and they are giving our readers a 20% discount.
Okay, that's actually really cool.
Label 6. Regular price, $35.95. Discounted price would be $28.76. And with Disk Label, you make labels for discs.
Yeah, you can make labels, and you can also make your jewel case sleeves.
CD cover art.
Yes, yes. And, you know, coming from the graphic design world, a lot of times I will kind of look down my nose at what, in the graphic design world, they consider the simple tools for designing things. But disc label is not one of those types of applications that falls in that. It's actually awesome, and it's something that I've seen other graphic designers using, because it's so easy to properly set up your CD labels and the accompanying jewel cases, and to know that everything's going to land exactly where it's supposed to. You'll know exactly what's going to get cut off, so you can make sure that your important stuff doesn't end up like running over into where the center cutout is. And if you decide partway through the design that you need to change to a different template, you know, like maybe using one type of Avery label and now you need to switch to a different one, okay, you can just change everything, and it still works. It's a fantastic tool. Lots of killer templates built in, holiday templates, which is good this time of year.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of people make CDs and DVDs to give to family.
Yeah, and which actually is an awesomely cool idea, because there's a lot of family and friends that can't be with you all the time.
Yep.
And this is a great way to be able to share those experiences in a meaningful and really cool way with people that matter to you.
Yeah, and grandparents love getting things like that.
They totally
love
do.
Getting the, like, you know, videos and you know, documentary style. What do you call those? Where you got photographs that are,
moving. Like the Ken Burns thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The kids, the old people with the kids, they love that sort of thing. Trust me. But to finish up here, disc label will import your playlist information directly from iTunes while you're burning your disc, and include that on the labels for you. It'll let you put photos from iPhoto directly under the cover art. I mean, it is a really cool app. And like Jeff said, used to be in particular, I think that until Apple came along with a lot of the stuff they were doing with the iLife suite and the iWork suite, that a lot of products out there were just kind of garbage for these sort of do-it-yourself design things.
Mm-hmm.
But the folks at Smile on My Mac, they know what they're doing with this disc label.
They do. I'm very impressed with the product.
Yep. I like it. I like it.
Now, do you by chance have
20% discount?
Yes.
SmileOnMyMac.com/AWR, which stands for Apple Weekly Report.
That's so retro.
That's what we used to be called. And at one point, we'll get everything synced up. But the offer is current. So if you'll go to that URL now, you'll find that in the show notes too. If you'll go to that URL, you'll see the a big red click here to get the special 20% discount. You're not getting that elsewhere.
No, you're
not getting that on SmileOnMyMac.com. You're not getting that on Smile on My Mac's disc label page. No siree. Our readers, our listeners get it.
Yeah, I really love the people over at Smile on My Mac, because they do cool stuff like this for us. And for you, Twiggy.
The bots will love it.
Yeah.
The bots will love it. Well, since we haven't figured out what other topic we're going to talk about, let's talk about the tablet Mac.
Let's talk about that. But you know what? Before we do that, I totally have to test your nerd cred. Do you remember the name of the robot that hung around Twiggy's neck in Buck Rogers?
It's the one that used the Mr. What's-His-Face from Boy Meets World for the voice, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't. Oh, I'm so disappointed. It was such an awful show. I just don't remember.
Well, it did have Aaron Gray as Colonel Deering, and you know, so it was totally worth watching for that.
Well, who didn't? I, the guy that played Buck Rogers was cool, but the writing and the sets were just awful.
They were. So, but okay. So for everyone that's playing at home that didn't jump off their chair right away and go, oh, I know, it's Dr. Theopolis.
Dr. Theopolis, of course.
And how sad is it that I actually know that? Of course, the trade-off is I can't remember my own home address.
True enough. And you know what I just did? I just did that thing that always cracks me up in Star Trek where, you know, the kids will be going like, you know, na 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 na, and then the camera will cut, and then the kids are suddenly going na 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 na, totally change keys.
Uh huh.
Yeah, always drove me nuts. You know, as a kid, I'm watching this like, you know, get a continuity editor. Anyway, I just did the same thing with my BDBDs. I dropped it down there.
Maybe your Twiki is growing up.
His digital balls dropped. Oh, good Lord. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, so good, what did we say Lord. We were going to talk about? The tablet.
Tablet Mac. Yeah, you know, the one thing that I really wanted to talk about in this thing is that I don't care if Apple's getting it, it ain't going to be coming out.
You know,
There's no way Apple's putting out a product called the Tablet Mac.
No, I don't think they are either. And I really think that getting a hold of the Tablet Mac name was simply because it had Mac in it, and Apple wanted to just cut that problem before it actually became an issue.
Yeah, the Axiatron really shouldn't have been granted that patent. That trademark to begin with. I mean, it's Tablet Mac. The point of a trademark is to prevent confusion in the marketplace. I'm certainly not an attorney, but that's at very least one of the major aspects of what a trademark is supposed to do. And Tablet Mac could indeed cause confusion in the marketplace.
Oh, sure.
It'd be very easy to look at a product called a Tablet Mac that runs Mac OS X and think that it comes from Apple.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like coming up with another, oh God, what would be another name you could come up with? How about OpenMac? Like anyone would ever use that.
Yeah, it would be stupid enough to do that.
Oh, geez, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Hi, Star.
Yeah, I think you have a little clone stuck in your throat.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not happy to see you. But the Tablet Mac is, I think, in other words, I think that it is coincidental to the impending release of whatever tablet device Apple's working on that Apple bothered to get this trademark from Axiatron. I think that, there's two reasons. Not only do they want it, of course, because, you know, it's got Mac in it and another company shouldn't have it, but I think the Apple was certainly going to be concerned about the possibility of anyone trying to use it once they do release their tablet product.
Sure. And
so they want to keep it out of the hands of anyone. Not I mean, Axiatron, I'm sure is a fine partner that you know, the ModBook is a great little product.
Yeah, it is. It's actually very cool. And being able to get a MacBook or a MacBook Pro version, well, that yeah, it's very cool. But I think you're right. This is a case of Apple just snagging the name to get it out of the market before it becomes an issue. And not that it is an issue right now, because Axiatron wasn't even using the name.
Right, they went with ModBook instead of a Tablet Mac, and I'm sure that it was something that they began the process of trademarking when they were first working on the product.
Sure, and you know, and if you look at ModBook when it's written out, it actually looks a lot closer to MacBook. So
it does, but it's not. I mean,
right?
You know, there. I would be shocked if Apple could possibly raise any legal complaints about ModBook.
And, you know, I don't see them doing that anyhow. Apple has been pretty cool about the whole Mac tablet thing that Axiatron is doing. And
yeah, I believe that they supply Axiatron directly with the products that they're using to make that.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be like,
I have heard that too.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And from Apple's perspective, as if I know everything that Apple's team thinks and does, letting Axiatron make their tablets out of Macs is a great idea, because Axiatron is being the test market for Apple to see what kind of interest there is in a true Apple tablet computer.
Yeah, the worst thing that could happen to Axiatron was that they had a huge hit with it, because then Apple would come in and crush them competitively.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Apple would clearly be able to release the exact same product at a substantially smaller, lower price.
Oh, yeah. And Apple's product would probably be better, because they have everything in-house to build it from ground up instead of having to hack a laptop apart.
Exactly. But, of course, that begs the point that no one is expecting, at least certainly not you or I, are expecting Apple to release this tablet product as a macOS 10 device. Instead, it's going to be running iPhone OS.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be a beefed up version of the iPhone OS, so that it can handle the extra things that go along with the larger format.
Well, I don't think it'll be beefed up. I think it'll simply have additional features.
Okay, well, that's what I mean by beefed up. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, gotcha. It'll have other things bolted into it to handle the features that come with this larger format device.
Exactly. But it's going to be an iPhone OS device. It's going to be much more a part of the iPod product line than it will be the Mac product line. And so anyway, there's not much to see here. It does make for a fun coincidence, but a tablet Mac is not going to be entering the market anytime soon.
I don't see that happening.
No. Hey, so one more thing that I'm kind of interested in this week, and that was the whole map thing.
Oh, sure. I think we could fit that into our schedule too.
yeah. I guess if we can pencil it in, let's pencil it in now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's great. Let's go.
Alrighty. So. They're hiring this dude. They're going to rethink people. Users use maps, change the way people find things. Sounds to me like they want to go head-to-head with Google Maps and Microsoft Visual Earth and MapQuest and Yahoo Maps.
You know, I think they want to go head-to-head with the features that these other companies are offering. I am not completely convinced that they're going to stop using the Google Map services, but instead maybe bolting their own feature set on top of that, because Google's already taken care of setting all that up. Now, that said, I might be completely wrong.
You know, though, if Apple is trying to hire team people, I don't see them building a team and buying this company just to you know, do extensions for Google Map services. I'm gonna try this again. They really seem to me to be painting a picture of going whole hog and having a competing product with to Google Maps.
You know, and that may very well be. And now this next statement I make might be wrong, but as I understand it, PlaySpace, part of what they did was make services that sit on top of the other map services. So they take the infrastructure that companies like Google Maps or Google has with Google Maps, and then they can put things on top of the maps that these other companies have already made and offer you services beyond what the original map making company offered. Mm. Now, if I'm completely wrong on how PlaySpace is working, I am certain that one of the many robots that download our show will let us know.
Beady, beady. All right, well, let's look at this from another direction, though. So Steve is obviously keen on controlling all key elements that his company's products use, right?
Right.
For instance, they have bought a semiconductor design company.
Right.
And hired top semiconductor people.
Right.
Seemingly to make their own chips, probably for the iPhone and iPod product lines.
Right. Well, at least design the chips, and then they contract with someone to make them.
Right.
Yeah.
So they identified movie making as a key part of the Mac product line, and they buy Final Cut Pro.
Right.
They determine that there are tens of thousands of Macs in recording studios, and they buy Logic.
Right.
And I think to a certain extent, they've done these things in order to make sure that the elements that it's not just control for control's sake, but it's to make sure that whatever it is that they need is going to be there. Whatever it is that their customers want is going to be there.
Right. And all of these points that you're bringing up are exactly the things that are keeping me from saying Apple is absolutely not going to have their complete own self-contained maps service.
Right.
Because, Apple likes to have that control. So all those reasons.
They do like to have that control. And I would imagine that, I'm going to rephrase that differently. It is not difficult for me to believe that Apple has come to the decision that map services are one of the most important APIs for their developers to use.
Oh, sure. It's amazing the number of applications that want to use the iPhone's location services.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And if they have determined that this is super important, they're not going to want to be held hostage by Google with its own Android platform, although I think that Google is, pretty much made it clear that it's in its DNA to go ahead and be everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's
That doesn't mean that Apple wants to be held hostage to it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with Google wanting to be everywhere.
No, and there's nothing wrong for them to want to make Android the premier platform.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that, because as long as they're working on a quality product, then we have this great situation where Apple and Google have to compete, and then we all win.
Yeah, we all win. Yeah, definitely love the competition. So I don't know. It's an interesting development, but I am fascinated at the notion that they may be going down the route of competing with Google Maps. So I mean, because I don't think there seems to be no point in developing a map service that could be used on the iPhone that wasn't also available on the web. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And there's some cool things that you have in Google Map that I would hope, if Apple breaks away, they find ways to bring these features in. Now, of course, the satellite thing, which we were discussing before the show a little bit, you brought this up. The satellite images, okay, Apple can get those from the same place that Google does. No big deal.
Sure.
But like the Street View thing, for some people, Street View doesn't matter. For other people, it's awesome. And now, believe it or not, I actually use Street View in a completely different way than that. I know. Shocking. But I find Street View to be especially handy, like when I go to downtown Denver and I need to find parking places. I can look at Street View, and I can actually read the street signs, the no parking signs, to see if it's one of the windows where you can park on this street but not today because of street cleaning or whatever.
I see. Sure.
And so
I would imagine there are lots of people that use Street View in similar ways, and just to even know exactly where it is that they're going ahead of time, you know, et cetera. But you know, if Apple wanted to provide its own Street View service, they could do it.
Oh, they absolutely
got more money
could.
than Bill Gates. Actually, that's not true. I think Bill's still got more money than they do. But Apple's got a ton of money, and if they want to go whole hog on a map service, they can.
Yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't. You're absolutely right. So
right, and if they do this, if they do come out with their own competing product, I expect them to do exactly what they said, which is to come up with new ways to do stuff.
Oh yeah, well that's one of the things that Apple is great at. They innovate where so many other companies just react and follow.
Yeah. I've had a couple people who asked me about the tablet in real life. You know, hey Brian, what do you think about the tablet? I don't know why I'm being so belittling to the people, to my friends and whatnot. But
I assume that's what they really did. You know, like when your friends are talking to you, they actually say, "Hey, Brian." Blah, 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 blah.
That'd be just a horrible conversation. All right, well, let's try this again. So I have people ask me about the tablet all the time. I mean, seriously, all the time. And a lot of times they'll say that, you know, well, you know, this won't work or that won't work or, you know, people aren't going to want it for this reason or people aren't going to want it for that reason. And my response to that is, if it sees the light of day, whatever it is that you're complaining about will have been solved.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's Apple has done that with all of these products recently, these genre-changing and, you know, disruptive technologies that they're disruptive products at the very least that they put out. They've solved a problem. Sometimes it's even problems that we didn't necessarily know that we had, and given us a solution. And I think that's going to be the case with the iPhone. I don't know why I went off on that tangent.
It's because you actually like going blah 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 blah.
Yeah, hey man. Hey, can I get some milk? I don't know where I'm going with that, but let's just stop right there.
I think that's probably for the best. do you think we've covered enough in the context machine for today?
I think we have, and then some.
Okay. All right. Then I will say, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to Steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at TM O'Brien. That's TM O'Brien. Boy, it's like we're having another no sleep episode. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. That's me, you, John, a couple other people there. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Thank you, CashFly. Bass is by Boom. Thank you, Ricky. And that was recorded just for us. And, of course, our theme song is provided by the Atomic Love Bombs. That's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
Blah, 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 blah. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you. go. We're trapped by lies that we don't know. I can see a way out now. I will not go, no matter how. You push me under, you hold me down. After all, I think I'd rather. I can see a way out now. I will not go, no matter how. You push me under, you hold me down. After all, I think I'd rather. I can't see a way out now. I will not.